Got a few news and notes that we need to cover before we get started this morning. I'm sad that Fern isn't here today. It's her 95th birthday, and so make sure you connect with Fern on this day to celebrate her birthday. Tuba City folks are back. They got back yesterday afternoon from their mission trip, and so make sure that you prop them up a little bit today, and they're going to talk about their mission trip next Sunday at Koine. And so make sure you come next Sunday at 9, and you can learn about all that happened in Tuba City and the things that we helped support there. Be praying for Ernestine. This morning she had an episode while during Bible class, so be praying for her. I know the medical folks are attending to her, and so I'll be praying on her behalf. And but good news. Hopefully you caught all that happened this week with the GoTro family, and your dad had surgery on Tuesday, nephew on Wednesday, an 8-hour surgery there. Those both turned out great. Ooh. Okay. All right. And then Melody is coming home to the GoTro family, and so... I'm still crying about that. Scott sends me a text, "It's a girl." And then I just start crying. That is just such great news. And just so you know, we're going to try to figure out how best to bless Melody and her coming and joining the family here and the GoTro family. And so we're kind of working along with them, just trying to make sure how we can come along with her in this process. I was just trying to imagine what an 8-year-old would feel like in this time of adoption, and I don't know what's going through her mind, and so we're going to make sure we handle that appropriately, and I just want to give her a big hug and a kiss, but that's probably not appropriate. Who's this stranger? We don't want that to happen, but we'll keep you posted on how best to welcome Melody to the family and to celebrate. But that's just such great news. Great news. Okay, transition. Willard Harley talks about a couple named John and Mary. When John first meets Mary, he feels something different. He feels something special. Mary is beautiful, intelligent, charming, and full of life. So a couple days later, John contacts Mary and says, "Can we go out on a date?" And she says yes. And they have a wonderful first date, which led to many more dates. They dated throughout the next year, had a great, wonderful time together, and finally John realizes, you know, I really don't want to live without this woman in my life. And so they go out to their favorite restaurant, and he proposes, and she says yes. For the next 5 years, it is marital bliss. They have a great time. They love being together. Their sexual relationship is just all passion, and so things are just going great for them. During the sixth year, they decide, you know, it's time to have a family. So they decide to see if they can have children, and sure enough, a child comes into their lives, and as those of us have had children, when that first child comes, life gets a little bit different. And Mary's just worn out all the time. She's still trying to work and be a mom, and she's tired and just not able to spend much time with John. And their sexual relationship takes a hit during this time. Just not the relationship they had prior to the birth of their child. And then in the next short time, Mary decides, you know, I want to go back and finish my degree. I want to get that bachelor's degree and go on to get my master's degree. And so she's trying to work, and she's trying to go to school, and they're trying to take care of the child. And she is just worn out and has no time for John. And all she wants to do is take care of work and homework and studies and attend to their child. And her relationship with John takes another hit. And their sexual relationship takes a hit. Enter Noreen. Noreen's a co-worker with John, and they've been working together for quite a while, but one day Noreen shares with John that her husband left her high and dry. And so John, being a nice guy, comes alongside and tries to help her, you know, counsel with her, comfort her, give her some strength and encouragement during this time of her loss. And of course, when that happens, Noreen is drawn to John. Their level of intimacy increases. And so he starts sharing with her the troubles he's having at home. You know, Mary's just not the woman that I married. And she's not, we don't have the relationship we once had. And that draws them even more closer together. Because of their intimacy has increased, it goes into a full-blown affair. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, wisdom says, adultery is a brainless act. It is soul-destroying and is self-destructive. We've been looking at the wisdom of Proverbs. Kyle's going to look at wisdom from James later on. But we learned early on here in Proverbs that God's wisdom helps shape our moral character. That if we pursue his wisdom, it becomes our wisdom as well. And it helps shape us and gives us a good life. Helps equip us for the challenges of life so we will make proper decisions. And that's exactly what's happening here in chapter 6, is in the first few verses, God is saying, my wisdom, if you accept my wisdom, things will go well with you. Life will go well with you if you accept my teachings. And especially in the context of an adulterous relationship. If you've accepted my teachings and the moral character that I want you to have, you'll not find yourself in trouble morally or trouble in the relationship of adultery. So that's what's happening here in chapter 6 of Proverbs. God's wisdom is saying, I can help make sure your life turns out right. He says in verse 24 that it provides protection for you, gives life preservation for you as you think about this adulterous relationship. You want to have a protected life? Embrace my wisdom. Embrace my wisdom, and your life will be protected. And Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 5 the temptation that lust, you know, when we let lust come into our lives and the destructive nature of lust, what it leads to, the path that it leads to, oftentimes be an adulterous relationship. And so Jesus says we've got to make sure that we watch our lust, realizing what it can lead to. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And the writer of Proverbs, God's wisdom says, accept my teachings, I'll protect you from this. I'll not allow the lust to be something that leads you into an adulterous relationship. And unfortunately, we're reminded in verse 25 that we are captured too often by externals. You know, we live in a culture that just, I mean, it knows, our culture knows our flesh. And too oftentimes we don't look at things, we don't look at people through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We look at people and situations through the eyes of the flesh, and we get captured. And so when, as the writer of Proverbs says in verse 25, when you're focusing on this woman from the eyes of the flesh, all you see is a beautiful woman and not a person, and you get captured. And of course, Satan has a heyday with that, doesn't he? He knows our flesh. And he's hoping that we buy into all these externals and get captured. And that's exactly what the writer of Proverbs is saying. If you haven't accepted my wisdom, if you haven't been protected by my wisdom, there's a good chance you're going to be captured by these externals, by her beauty. And I love, I mean, there's so much in Scripture that, you know, God knows how to communicate with us, and he uses all kinds of things to get to us. You know, Jesus teaches in these parables that give earthly stories that make a heavenly message to us, and we see here in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 through 29, the power of a metaphor. He's saying, you know, don't throw, you know, if you end up with hot coals in your lap, you're going to get burned. And that metaphor teaches, I think, both what happens sexually, that, you know, sex could be seen as a hot coal, okay? So he's talking about sexually here and what can happen in a person's life. And using that same metaphor, if we throw some hot coals on ourselves, we're going to be burned. And so he's using this imagery saying, if you mess with these hot coals, you're going to have some pain in your life. You're going to get burned, essentially. So he's using this metaphor here to teach us we've got to watch out for these hot coals. And we need to understand the pain of being burned. We need to understand the pain. And for some of us, we don't know that, but for many others, they do know the pain. And so this morning, I'm going to help us with some of these. And those of you that are retired in this audience and you're thinking, well, this message isn't for me, guess what? You have the very same temptations and can have the exact same pain. So don't check out on me. We all know that an adulterous relationship, it destroys marriage. And the spouse is devastated. This is a part of that pain of being burned. The kids oftentimes are a part of the carnage. They're heartbroken. Their family's been destroyed, torn apart. And sometimes the kids will actually look in the mirror and say, am I at fault? Did I cause this to happen? When it really has nothing to do with them, but they feel it. Some of the pain is financial loss. All kinds of things can happen financially. And for some, it is actually because of a loss. If you are having an adulterous relationship with a coworker, you may be out of a job. Or if other people find out, it could destroy you financially, it can destroy your job situation. It's part of being burned. The tremendous guilt. You don't think about, you know, the guilt and the pain before the hot coals hit. But there's tremendous guilt before God and before others because of an adulterous relationship. And there's no quick recovery. You just can't come forward on a Sunday and say, boy, I sure blew it, and then think things are going to be just fine after that. Typically, it's a very long, painful process. And so you and I need to realize where these coals come from. Where do these hot coals, how do they get into our lives? And typically, the two key areas are when we become a caregiver, when we're, you know, a person that's very helpful and supportive in meeting someone else's needs, and when we increase our level of intimacy with somebody. Those are the two areas that are the hot coals that we need to watch out for. They manifest themselves oftentimes, almost all the time, in a friendship relationship. An adulterous relationship usually comes out of a friendship. And the spouse usually knows the person ahead of time as a friend. And they never intended for their relationship to get to this level. They never saw it as some hot coals coming their way. They were just friends. And it begins by sharing problems. Boy, you know, I'm having this marital problem, and boy, how can I help you in your marital problem, and how can I support you? And so there's this level of sharing and supporting one another that begins a very intimate relationship. And you start comparing. Oftentimes, an adulterous relationship will come because you're comparing your marriages. Well, my husband's like this or my wife is like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, I would be a much better spouse for you. And that's what happens. And sometimes they counsel each other and hopefully help each other through these challenges. But what that does is when you increase that level of intimacy, you're drawn to each other. An affair can happen. And you got to watch out for excessive compliments. If you have a coworker that's always complimenting you, that's a red flag. Those are coals that could be coming your way. Because it feels pretty good getting all these compliments from that coworker when you're not getting them at home. And you're thinking, this is pretty cool. I like this. These compliments feel pretty good. But where can they lead to? And as almost all situations, when a person ends up in an adulterous relationship, it was not planned. They didn't say, boy, I'm looking forward to getting into this adulterous relationship. This is going to be great. They'll say, it just happened. It just kind of came along and just happened, and it just seemed to make perfect sense. Of course I would end up in a relationship with this person because they are the greatest person. They're always giving me compliments, and they're so nice to me, and they're so supportive. Why wouldn't I have a relationship with them? It just makes sense, and it just happened. You've got to watch out for these hot coals. And what oftentimes doesn't make any sense is that person, I mean, they leave this wonderful spouse, and oftentimes an attractive spouse, for this other person who, if you're going to compare the two, you're going to say, why would you leave your spouse for this other person? Because it's an emotional attachment. Oftentimes, it's not a physical one. They would have never gone after that person because of their physical looks, but because of the emotional attachment that they've gained. Because that level of intimacy and the mutual support and meeting each other's needs is much greater than the physical. But they didn't see it coming. It's not based on reality. It's based on fantasy. And there's no judgment. Can't think clearly. The realities of life are not considered. People will give up their jobs. They'll give up their homes. They'll give up their pensions. They'll give up a wonderful family for this fling, this relationship. And they don't measure this whole process at all. They just can't think clearly because it's based on this fantasy. This person is the most wonderful person in the whole wide world. Why wouldn't I want to be with them? And the reality is they've not thought through this at all. It's based on a fantasy, and there's no reality. And all it does is causes pain, and you get burned. It just seems so enjoyable. They bring out the best in me. They ignore my faults. And oftentimes it's just an intense sexual experience, not based upon reality, not based upon a relationship that's meaningful. Again, a fantasy. And Christians are not immune. You look at the stats, and there's not much difference between those who are without Christ and those who are followers of Christ. We are all tempted. We are all tempted. And that's why we need to listen to the wisdom of God and hold firm to his teachings. If you look over there, there's a window in Kyle's office. There's a purpose for that window. He wants to make sure there's no hot coals. He makes sure that there's a window so that there's never an opportunity for his door to be shut. Whenever I have a woman that wants to meet with me and have a Bible study, I make sure that Norma's here. And I make sure my door's open. And the blinds are open as well. If there's some situation that I have to meet with a woman in some kind of setting, I will always tell Nancy, guess who I'm meeting with today, and this is where I'm going, and this is how long I'll be, and how I'm getting there. We have to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined. And we support each other here in our disciplines, and hopefully you're realizing the importance of you being disciplined as well. Because Christians are not immune to this temptation, to these hot coals. So invest in your marriage. Date. Build the friendship. Don't take your spouse for granted. I mean, if anybody ought to be the one who gives the compliments, it ought to be your spouse. Build that friendship. Meet the needs that you share in your marriage relationship. And don't refuse each other sexually, because someone else may meet those needs. Don't avoid sexual fantasies. Don't create a world that does not exist. And unfortunately, we live in a world that pornography is so readily available that it can create this world. Don't allow these fantasies to rule your world. And meet the needs of your mate exclusively. Don't meet the needs of someone else's. And start your own affair at home with your spouse. I had originally had that line, start your own affair at home. And Nancy said, make sure you say, with your spouse. Just want to make sure that that is clear. Of all places, that's where it ought to be, right? That's where it ought to be. With the person you've committed to and so thankful to have in your life, why wouldn't you want to invest there? And why pursue something that could be so destructive? There's so many blessings in following God's wisdom and His teachings. He says it'll go well with you if you follow my teachings, if you accept my disciplines. When I study with people that are outside of Christ and they don't know anything about the Bible, what they do know about the Bible in their minds is it's a bunch of rules. God's a killjoy. No! He wants it to go well with us. And His teachings will help us to make sure our lives go well. And He says, stay away from this adulterous situation because it'll destroy your life. He's not a killjoy. He wants to give us life and to give it abundantly. And we get that by following His wisdom, His teachings. He says, wisdom says, adultery is a brainless act. It's soul-destroying and self-destructive. Wisdom says, for sound advice or wisdom is a beacon. Good teaching is a light. Moral discipline is a life path. I'm really hoping that as we think about the wisdom of God, we'd realize that He gives us the good life and that He puts us on the right kind of path, a light that directs our paths, a light that gives us direction for our lives so things will go well with us, and to keep us out of situations that'll be very destructive. But challenges are still going to come our way, and temptations will still come, even though we're trying to follow His teachings. A military man was suspended for disobeying orders. He was given an order to spend a great amount of time in a bunker. Well, that had been bad enough, but he was supposed to spend that whole time in the bunker with another female officer. It would be just the two of them. And he made a decision based upon the teachings here in Proverbs that he would not be in that bunker, that he was going to disobey those orders because he was afraid of what would happen to him. And he wanted to be honoring to his God and honoring to his marriage. And so he told his officers, I'm not going to be in that bunker. And because of that decision, he honored his God, he honored his wife, and he put his life on a path that was well lit and was not leading to destruction. So my admonition this morning, my charge is to realize that we need to stay away from those sexual fires that can be so destructive. Those coals, if you will. And remember the power, the destructive power, the pain that can happen if we give in to those temptations. And that we would live a life, live in the life path of God's wisdom. It's a great place to live. It'll go well with us. Why would we want to deviate from this great life that he's given us? So we need to be a spirit-led people. So I charge us to look at life and look at others, look at situations through the Holy Spirit, not the flesh, that could lead to destruction. This morning, maybe someone here has made the wrong choice and needs to say, I am sorry for my sin, and I need to be prayed for and encouraged to go on the right path. Or maybe you've never made the choice to be on the right path and to follow the teachings, the wisdom of God, and you want to make a confession of faith. Now's a good time for that as well. I'll be really excited to study with someone if they want to spend some time learning more what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So catch me afterwards if that's your desire. We give this time now to be able to share with the body if you have some things you want to share as we stand and sing.